WildTalkRadio.com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
The Wild Talk Radio Network now presents The Evolution in Online Sports Entertainment.
Hey, everybody, this is X Pac with D-Generation X.
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam. You're listening to me because you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wrestle Talk Radio.
Who's ready for story time, baby?
Hosted by Tim Stein.
Best there is, the best there was, or the best there ever will be.
The intern, Kane Kittens.
I am the best in the world at everything I do.
Special guest host this week, local indie wrestler Keishi Matsunaga.
I'm better than you, and you know it.
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
Acknowledge me.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Don't stop listening, or I will find you. I know where you live. I have Google Earth.
WTR Sunday night.
And remember, it's okay to play with yourself. As long as you have an action figure.
It's a new day? Yes. No, wait. No. It's no longer a new day. This is WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. WildTalkRadio.com. Twitch.tv/WTR Live Chat. If you have Amazon Prime, like YouTube, Twitch, again, it's not Prime Gaming, it's not Twitch Prime, it's just Prime. Click the purple button below the screen. You can use carrier code ROCKETSOCK in the Fortnite shop when you buy Star Wars stuff. Hashtag Epic Corner. I am the producer. Joined, as always, by last week's host, the intern, Kane Kittens.
I got called up, and now I'm sent back down to the developmental again, so...
I mean, you could always take a full-time call-up if you want.
We'll see. We'll see. It's a lot of prep work.
It's a lot of prep work. It's a lot of stuff. It happens. It's fun.
Well, also, I mean, this is my last... like, full week of class, so over the summer, I do free up a little bit, so who knows?
The summer of the intern, just like the summer of Roman Reigns, except for the month of June now, apparently. Anyway, we'll talk about it. We also have one, Keishi Matsunaga.
I don't have as much to say about hosting or freeing up my time over the summer. I'm just here hanging out when I can.
Yeah, you know, you're on a full-time schedule for the summer, like Roman Reigns was.
Yeah, it's just, instead of me taking June off, I take the entire winter off.
Yeah, you know, that's how that kind of, that's kind of how that goes. Supposedly, by the way, supposedly he's off for June, but we'll talk about it. And we also have the one and only Tim Stein.
Yeah, that's me. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Roast Talk Radio Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Streaming on Twitch, twitch.tv/WTR Live. Come say hi in the chat room as we preview Backlash and stuff.
Yeah, and stuff, because there's a couple things that dropped this weekend, including the New Day no longer being with a WWE.
Now, as far as that goes, it wasn't a case of them asking for their release, and it wasn't a case of them getting released.
They were renegotiating contracts and were offered lower money, and they said no. So they said, we want to go.
Peace
and
out.
They parted ways mutually, so it was no longer beneficial for both parties to work together at this time, and the New Day is no more.
Go. How much longer until Grayson Waller?
Ooh.
I mean, it should have been a hint when he showed up on Monday's TV and was not pairing anything with the New Day.
Yeah, it's one of those things. And also, I mean, you know, just to give proper attention, there were two other releases that came to as part of the weekend as well. Maybe not as high value, but still.
What was it? Tangaloa and JC Mateo?
Yeah, yep. JC Mateo and the not good Gorilla of Destiny. If in case you ever are wondering, there are like clip compilations of all of the botches of Tangaloa.
What? Which is, no way.
Which is one of the things that people had said when WWE signed him. They were like, oh, really? Because apparently he had the similar issues in New Japan Pro Wrestling, and as we saw basically from his debut, he's not polished. Now, Tama Tonga, on the other hand, good performance, and considering the fact that he's in a storyline with Solo Sikoa, kind of thinking you're probably not going to get rid of him.
I mean, to be fair, the JC Mateo and Tangaloa were also in the said storyline.
Well, kind of, but like JC Mateo never really stood out for as much as he was, you know, brought into the group. Like Tala Tonga stands out because homeboy is 7 foot, a little hard to avoid him. And since he's come along, he's kind of taken that powerhouse role that JC Mateo would have normally done.
Yeah.
And also, I wonder if, because that, for those who don't know, this is also, I can't remember his name in, he was in Lucha Underground performing under a mask.
Yeah. And I can't remember his name either.
Not Mascaras. Mil Muertes? Anyway, he has a very kind of distinct style, but I don't know if it fits with the overall WWE style, if that makes sense. So that may have just been, they try him out for a year and then just realize, yeah, I don't know if we can fully use him the way we want, so it was time to cut bait.
And that happens with a lot of the talent that was released in the last 2 weeks. It's, we tried it. Some worked, some didn't. But you look at the Wyatt Six versus the MFT's program. Most of them are now gone, and that program was the 3 months this year so far.
Well, and also, as I brought up last week, when it comes to these kinds of groups, when you have 6-7 person factions, it kind of limits you on what you can do unless you do break them up into smaller things to work with. But at that point, what's the point of the faction if you've got a bunch of small groups within it doing stuff? You know, the power is in being the group.
And it used to be power was part of being in the group, but now it's not, because if you're not working on a Monday or a Friday, you're not working.
Yeah, that the fact that they're not doing house shows, the fact that they're, you know, save for like the European or the international tours in general, you're probably not going to get a lot of work if you're not hitting TV, unless you're going to the PC. And with that, I mean, you're just running reps. You're not actually getting like full matches, and in some cases getting out in front of the fans, which is what could save you.
Right, because you would have the road crew, because all the main eventers weren't working the house shows, but a lot of the other guys were. Now you don't have those events to put the mid-card to undercard guys on. That's why people lose their jobs on the regular basis. There's no spots for them.
And honestly, you can only carry X amount of talent for so long before you do need to make cuts. I know that people will complain that WWE is making a ton of money, so why would they need to cut people? And it's just a matter of, so you just want to pay people to do nothing? That doesn't make business sense whatsoever. Do I ever want to see people pull, you know, like losing their job? Absolutely not. But also, in some cases, as we touched on last week, being able to go out into the independents or going and finding your niche in other places can help you, because maybe it helps you find a character that works. Maybe it lets you explore things that you wouldn't normally be able to. And then you can come back a la Drew McIntyre with a completely different perspective and visualization of yourself. And ever since he's been back with NXT and getting called up to that main roster, I don't think there's really been a shot when we were like, you know, Drew could get cut. If anything, it was just, nah, Drew might walk away.
There was a point where it was thought about when his contract was coming up, where he would take time off. And now he's embracing this new schedule where he's preparing for his matches, like their UFC or boxing matches, because he trains for them, because they're not happening every week. So And when it comes to the PLEs, we're about to talk about, there's only a certain amount of spots because they're only doing 5, maybe 6 matches on a PLE a month. So you don't need everybody. You can't put everyone on every show, unlike other promotions you think you can, for it to matter.
Because other places are just going to wholesale sign the Wyatt 6. 6 contracts all at once.
Yeah, of course they are.
Yeah, I saw a post earlier this week that someone was like, they need to redo All Out with, what was it, 23, when they had the debuts of Cole and Brian back-to-back.
And debut with who?
Motor City Machine Guns of the New Day.
Okay.
My question is the following. Where the hell is their tag division already?
Yeah.
Because as of right now, aside from Edge and Christian, who have FTR faced recently?
The Young Bucks.
The Young Bucks.
Yeah.
That's it. But there's no Hurt Syndicate. There's no Private Party. There's, you aren't getting Jet Speed because what's his name is now the TNT title holder.
Yeah, Kevin Knight or something?
Kevin Knight, thank you. Like, the Guns aren't fighting in tag team. The Death Riders aren't fighting in tag team. They're doing trios, if not recruiting Will Ospreay for some reason. Like, what was once one of their big things has completely fallen by the wayside, and now you're going to tell me, oh, but they can absolutely do better with the Motor City Machine Guns, who are a 40-plus-year-old tag team?
Yep.
Yep.
And the New Day, which is a 40-plus-year-old tag team?
Kidding? At least one of them is there, yep.
Yep.
That's not to say New Day won't do good things probably in AEW, because they probably will. They'll have a nice year run.
If they went there, yeah. But there's no guarantee that they will. I mean, if you think of, like, the New Day specifically, you look at Kofi has been in the WWE for, I don't know how long. I'm sure he's
18 years.
Smart. He was probably pretty smart with his money. And I'm sure that if he really thought, I'm kind of getting up there. My body's not what it used to be. Maybe it's time to, like, hang things up. He probably could. And, like, Woods has got so many irons in the fire, he doesn't necessarily need to wrestle full-time if he didn't want to. Well, so there's no, like, of the two, of, like, the tag teams that have been released, there's nothing that says New Day keeps on wrestling. Does everybody want to see New Day versus the Young Bucks? Because that's something that kind of got put into the universe. Maybe they'll join just for, like, a small bit of time to get that dream match that everybody wants. But I wouldn't be, like, if at least Kofi decided to, like, hang up the boots and say, you know what, I'm good. I wouldn't be surprised.
I think, as you mentioned, they'll probably go for that dream match. And beyond that, there is no real money move for them in AEW. And
no,
one more point before you go, Brent.
Yeah.
I believe it's Alex Shelley who has a full-time medical career or something. I don't think he's itching to go on the road every week either.
No. And the one thing I will say about the New Day, if Kofi Kingston were to hang it up, don't get me wrong, Xavier Woods has an amazing personality. You know, the fact that he was on G4, the remake of G4, and single-handedly, like, carried it to try and will it back to life, and all of those other things, I give him kudos for that. The one thing I will always want to point out, though, is he could be a perfect example of the Bill Belichick syndrome for any of you sports fans out there. Hey, Rock, before the New England Patriots and when he joined with Tom Brady, what kind of coach was Bill Belichick?
He wasn't a great one.
No, he was middle of the road at best. In fact, he got fired at least once or twice from other places. And then Tom Brady left and he went back to mediocrity and got fired and now is struggling at North Carolina, at a college job. As I said, don't get me wrong, I love Austin Creed / Xavier Woods. But before the New Day, what was he?
A guy.
Like, in TNA, his biggest claim to fame was he was a ripoff of Apollo Creed in every sense of the word. He came out in the U.S. trunks. He came out with a boxing gimmick. He was charismatic. I mean, cool. I want to say his biggest claim to fame was he was TNA tag team champions with Pac-Man Jones.
Yeah, that happened.
So, and then it was like he got signed over to NXT and again, had personality, but wrestling-wise never really stuck out. And if it weren't for the fact that they tried the New Day, his ass would have been cut on the main roster for all intents and purposes. It's just a matter of those three took this one gimmick that looked like it was just designed to fail and did everything they could to put it over, and the fans just gravitated to it eventually.
They did, and it worked. And it worked for a decade.
But the thing also is, the reason the New Day worked was because when the WWE got behind it, they put that marketing machine behind it. So when they talk about booty-os and they were like, oh yeah, they had unicorns, that very next week, unicorn headbands were out there and people were buying them up by the droves, and it helped them sustain their popularity for so long. That's why we all talked about for the longest time, we didn't think they were ever going to turn heel that way, because they just made too much money. And then when they did turn heel, you noticed they went extravagant themselves, you know, Xavier with the big hats and Kofi shaved him, you know, shaved down to just the beard, and but it never felt the same.
Nope.
It felt very, very much like they were trying to be the anti-New Day. And at that point, it's like, but why? We wanted the New Day. So with that in mind, I don't know if them going to AEW is quite going to be the same thing, because sure, they'll put on a good match or set of matches with like the Young Bucks and one or two other people, but it's not going to be a grand effect of the New Day. Why? Because AEW is where the best wrestle is their motto. And if you notice, only one or two people get that real grandiose kind of over the top treatment.
And when they get that treatment, and when they get pushed for a little bit, everyone's like, oh my God, look what they're doing with the X, Y, and Z. Case in point, they hurt people.
Oh yeah. Well, they have a catchy little gimmick and everything. And then
it fizzles.
Bobby Lashley got hurt.
And it fizzles. And now they're on Collision and no one talks about them.
They were tagging with Chris Jericho.
Yeah.
That's how far the Hurt Syndicate fell. They joined Chris Jericho.
But they, if New Day goes, they have a 6-month run where they'll probably be very popular and have a great amount of success. And then now you've played the hits. Now what?
Mm-hmm.
And that happens with a lot of the people. You can play the hits to start, but then you have to evolve. And at this stage in their careers, I think they just play the hits and they just roll with it. And it'll be fine. And big props to them for going, hey, we just signed new contracts last year. We're not taking lower money.
Yeah. When you've been in the business for as long as they have, you've earned the right to look and go, we don't think we deserve to get money cut. And if that's the case, then you can stand on principle and you can rely on what you've already earned. Cool.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens with the New Day going forward. But we're here to talk about Backlash Wednesday this Saturday, live, 6 p.m. Eastern.
What the hell?
6 p.m. Early. Eastern, just like WrestleMania was. And the first hour will be live on ESPN2. So mark your calendars for Backlash this Sunday, 6 Eastern and stuff. And the main event of the show will be Roman Reigns defending his World Heavyweight Championship against Jacob Fatu, Keishi. This could be a big-time fight.
Hang on just a quick sec. What day of the week is it on?
This Saturday.
Because you said Sunday.
My bad. This Saturday.
There you go.
Yeah. But yeah, this should be a good match. I'm quite certain that the outcome will be Roman Reigns retains, but I think the match will be good. I'm excited to see how it goes. I think the story will be told well. Hopefully they kind of like lean into Jacob's desperation to need that title. And I mean, I'm not expecting anything like super crazy out of it, but I think it'll be enjoyable.
Yeah.
What are your feelings, Brent?
I like that they're going a little familiar with his first challenger. Part of it is, you know, we just saw him engage with Drew at WrestleMania in the no holds barred match, and we kind of knew he was going to take that next step, although I think some of us were probably like, oh, since he's on SmackDown, that next step is going to be Cody. Nope.
No,
it's straight Roman.
Yeah, and Cody got, well, the person we thought could go after Roman.
Yeah, I think Gunther may be the SummerSlam opponent for Roman.
Maybe.
We'll see. Depending upon what may happen with other storylines or people, if they want to be involved in a storyline, per se.
Yeah.
But I like the fact that Jacob's there and that Jacob can do a little bit of tweener, because that's where he's sitting right now with the attack on Roman Reigns that he's done, because it emphasizes Jacob being a threat and being kind of unpredictable, which is, I think, something that he's lost in recent time.
Mm-hmm.
When he was first brought in with Solo, it was the whole talk was from the family, like, you brought him in. You know he's not to be trusted. He's a loose cannon. He's been in prison and all of that. And so I like the fact that if we're going to have Roman defending the title being involved, that, yeah, maybe one of his first challengers is going to be from the inside, someone who knows him. And even better, we're seeing a new little bit of Jacob because he's bringing out the Tongan death grip as well. And so he's kind of gravitating in the middle of the MFTs, which is what he was a part of and broke away from, and the Bloodline, which is who they were initially fighting against.
Yeah.
So you've got layers there to work with. And honestly, I support the fact of you're putting Jacob in a position to be in that kind of top tier. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of people were saying the fact of Solo was kind of Roman's number two in the Bloodline, but the talk ever since Jacob got signed was, once Jacob debuts, Solo is second fiddle because he, you know, Jacob has all the tools. And I think we started to see that when it was, Solo's a little limited in terms of personality. Jacob's got it all.
He does. He has all the tools. Tim, what's your thoughts on the match?
Oh, I think the match itself is going to be entertaining. I don't know where the quality of the wrestling itself might be at, but I don't really think that this is one of those matches where that is the biggest concern. They don't have the match. They're not having this match to satisfy the wrestling purists. They're having this match to tell a story. And so far, you know, people watching the shows should be feeling invested for the Backlash match.
Who wins, Tim?
Yeah, Roman's going to retain one way or the other.
Who wins, Brent?
I think it's very early to pull the belt off of Roman if you just had him beat CM Punk. However, Rock, you alluded to something. What was that?
How Roman Reigns was pulled off the June events after being initially advertised for it?
He was advertised for it. He's been said that, like, you know, he was going to be around all summer. You're going to be sick of him. And now there's this. I don't know if this is one of those things where maybe Jacob takes him out, hence why he's written off for June.
I mean, it's a little too early. I think it's a little too early for that one, because you still have one more PLE before we get into that June schedule.
Yeah, I just think, what's the PLE? Is it the
Clash in Italy?
Italy? Mm-hmm. I think that one's probably going to be headlined by Gunther Cody instead. I don't know if you're going to put both world titles on that show. So if you wanted to write them off, you could. It also depends on who the travel group is for Europe. But
I don't think the travel group matters at that point, because the travel group is going to become everybody at that point, because that's when we're going to kick off the summer of Europe.
Okay. One thing I will say is, I mean, if you wanted to make a splash, if you really wanted to kind of do something with Jacob, then maybe him beating Roman would be one of those WTF moments.
It would.
And he doesn't have to hold the belt for long. And honestly, I think, you know what, screw it. In this case, I'll go Jacob, just because I think what you can do is, and I know I'm going to be wrong, that's fine. But what you can do is subvert that expectation of Roman has the belt, Roman wins, lol, he's going to carry this for 9 months. And if he goes and drops the belt to Jacob, then all of a sudden it becomes, wait a minute, any title match, this thing can change. I need to pay attention. Rather than, hey, this might be a good match, but we kind of know how it finishes.
Yep. I mean, it's very possible. All right, so you're going Jacob. Casey, who you got?
Roman retains.
All right.
It's quick and simple. There we go.
There we go.
Well, I talked about it a little bit before.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm just kidding.
It's Io Sky and Asuka meeting finally one on one. Kesh.
I mean, I guess this is the wrap up to the story, just without Kyrie. Which I guess is okay. I don't know if what happens after, if they send one of these two elsewhere or leave them to coexist on Raw. It'd be kind of weird if they did. It's hard to stay out of each other's way. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's the blow off of the story without the nice payoff of the story. If we were going to get one, it'll still be good. Io is like one of the best wrestlers on the roster. So is Asuka, especially when they kind of like let her do her thing. I think Io wins this match just to kind of continue her momentum with whatever they're going to do with her. She seems to be the one that they're kind of higher on versus Asuka. Which is too bad because after this, I'm not really sure what they do with her. But I think Io will win.
Tim, what is your take?
No, I'm assuming you called me because I said Tim.
Yes, you.
Yeah, I didn't. Yeah, because like when you start talking on your microphone there, you're very very inaudible, and then all of a sudden you're full volume. So, but Keish, you kind of nailed it, I think. It's like the blow-off of this particular feud without the payoff because we no longer have Kairi Sane. Potential match of the night with these two. And I'm just looking forward to watching these two women tear it up there. But, echoing what Casey said, feeling that they're a little bit higher on EO for a couple of different reasons. And what will they wind up doing with Asuka after this? But I'm back in EO.
What about you, Brent? What's your thoughts?
Well, first and foremost, I think we're learning more and more about the release of Kairi Sane than we did last week when it ultimately happened, with her basically having moved back to Japan by the time I think the release happened.
Something like that, or when it was announced, yeah.
When it was announced, she was basically like on her way back, so everyone that was doing like the "We Want Kairi" chants, it's like, you're not gonna get it, she's home.
Yeah, she can't hear you from there.
And I think that ultimately what, and I think that was almost one of the same reason she was released the first time, right? She wanted to go back home. She wanted to, because like her significant other and all of her things were in Japan. So I know a lot of people had gripes about the fact that this match wasn't on WrestleMania. One, because it was possibly being held back in case they needed to make a shift for the women's tag, which ultimately became a shift for a returning Paige. But two, I think part of this storyline kind of hits with it of, okay, if they did this match at Mania and let's say EO won and bested Asuka, who had been putting the boots to Kairi as her young girl, essentially, ultimately you still weren't going to get the payoff you wanted because the ultimate payoff was Kairi turning on Asuka and getting her freedom. And we wouldn't have gotten that after Mania anyway. Like, you would have had the EO and Asuka match, and it's like, okay, cool, we got that match. But the overarching storyline still had the big thread to be pulled, and we weren't going to get it. When it comes to this, I see that the WWE is a little higher on EO Sky, and just for clarification, because Case, you might know this better than I do, with you knowing some more of the independence and especially New Japan, is EO and Evil still engaged or no?
I don't know specifically, but I haven't heard otherwise.
They were at least at one point, because I'd seen some people said ex-fiance at some point.
Okay, yeah. I didn't hear that, so as far as I know, they are still together.
Yeah, they're still together as of last week.
Okay, and, you know, EO has just gotten essentially her fiance with the company down in NXT. Spoiler alert for anyone who hadn't watched NXT this week. But it's like EO has a lot going for her professionally. The fact that she didn't have a match at Mania, but she still got featured at Mania, considering she was part of the Rhea Ripley match. But when you look also in terms of storyline with EO Sky, you can see a lot of things aren't going for her right now.
Yeah.
You had the breakup of Rio and Rhea having to go to SmackDown.
Mm-hmm.
You have her kind of facing with Asuka, and Asuka kind of in promo telling her essentially like, yep, Kairi's gone. So very much EO is on an island right now. And while WWE may be behind her, I wonder if there's more story behind if EO loses here, what happens next? Like, where does she go? Because her big support system is off on the other company. or the other brand. Asuka just beat her after she was trying to fight for Kairi Sane. You know, where does she go now? And I think that's more interesting than it's like, okay, cool, she wins. I don't think we're going to see her versus Liv Morgan, because even though Io has been, you know, she can easily be put in the title picture, she's been hovering in that title picture for, 2 years now, off and on?
Something like that.
Because she had the match with, or she had the WrestleMania match with Bayley. She had last year's WrestleMania three-way. Like, and I know that she's been pulled back a little bit with Rhea, but even then, like, when the two of them were fighting, they were fighting for the tag belts. It's kind of like, maybe, yeah, we see kind of what she can do on her own and, like, not in the main event storyline, but you can still get her shine. Whereas if Asuka wins here, that kind of picks up a feather in her cap, and maybe she can go for Liv, even though Asuka's a heel. She can also kind of teeter where you need her to be. She can just be, like, a crazy face or heel, if need be.
All right. So, who you have, Brent?
I'll go Asuka, just because I think she needs it a little more. And again, if Io loses here, it's, she's lost her friend, she's lost her, she's kind of lost her way. What does she do now?
Tim, you have, who do you have, Tim?
I picked Io.
All right. And Casey, I believe you went Io as well.
Yeah.
All right. Is this the WrestleMania rematch for the United States Championship? Trick Williams this time defends against Sami Zayn, Tim.
Full out heel turn by Sami on this one. And be a hell of a match. And Trick is going to retain. I really don't know what else to say about this.
What about you, Casey? Who do you got?
It'd be weird to have it switch back between these two so quick. It'd be interesting to see Trick chase that title, though, if they want to keep this program going. I don't know if they're going to, or if this is just kind of like to get another match on the card and have Trick move on and have someone else kind of go for the U.S. title, or go after him with the U.S. title and have, you know, Sammy move on to a different thing. Or I feel like of the two scenarios, it makes the most sense for Trick to keep, retain, and then have him start a program with someone else, whether it's someone else moving up in NXT or anything like that, versus switching it back to Sammy, unless it's going to be Trick chasing him again. I think Trick retains. That feels like the more likely scenario to me.
All right, Brent, what about you? What do you think?
Yeah, I think when it comes to this, we've talked about it, and we've seen it play out in the last 2 or 3 weeks. Sammy is going a bit darker here, including the, you know, beatdown of the model of the gingerbread man. They're finally writing off the gingerbread man in this storyline.
The funeral is this Friday.
Ripped off the gumdrop buttons, you know. Not the gumdrop buttons.
All the things. Yeah.
But we are getting Sammy going further and further with this. And you're seeing Trick gravitating more towards that kind of face role and embracing the fans fully with this. By the way, nice little moment where he threw up the X for the gingerbread man. You know, got him. Got to keep it kayfabe, man, and get the ringside doctor there for him. But I think with this, as Casey was touching on, this is your way of Sammy going full heel. And Tim mentioned this as well. Sammy going to go full heel here. But this is also the blow off of the story, because I think Trick is going to keep the belt. Sammy's going to do everything he can to try and win here. It's not going to work. He's going to go full heel. But that's your avenue to turn him towards some of the other faces on the roster, because it gives more possibilities with that. And for Trick, it gives him a chance to work with some people, because, and I think Rock mentioned this, Trick's a little limited in what he can do in the ring right now. So I think getting him a little bit more seasoning with some other people, and perhaps get him working with someone who he has history with, that may be coming back. You can put them in a story where if a former champion wants to try and get his belt back, he can go against Trick, because Trick may be more likely now to retain that belt and help get himself further over.
So you're officially going,
I'm going to go Trick Williams here with his lemon pepper steppas to to win.
It is going to be The Miz and Kit Wilson taking on Danhausen and a mystery partner who we cannot confirm nor deny may be God. What are you thinking, Keish?
I don't see Danhausen and the partner of his choosing losing this. I suppose it depends on... I don't see it. I think Danhausen and his partner wins. Having him, like, you can have Danhausen's partner, whoever it is, end up winning this match and kind of keeping it that way. I don't think you bring Danhausen brings someone in just to lose so that he loses the match and curses them. And it doesn't make sense to have Danhausen take the pin right now. It'll kind of kill whatever momentum he has. So, yeah, Danhausen and TBD.
As one for Danhausen, TBD. Tim, what are you thinking?
I'm thinking I can't wait for this match just based on everything that's been going on between Danhausen and The Miz. I mean, how do you steal a kid's bike and have the kid say, no big deal. It's going to be fun. This is, you know, definitely going to be a comedy match. But at the end of the day, Danhausen and TBB are going to wind up being victorious, which will be very nice, very evil.
Okay. And Brent, what about you? What are you thinking?
I'm just going to call it right now. We are getting towards the start of summer, which frees up a number of superstars. Right, Rock? Usually, you know, you have vacations, you have summer plans, so sometimes you have to call upon a little bit deeper in the roster to fulfill your needs, especially if you have a European tour coming up, right?
Yeah.
Okay. That being said, I'm calling my shot now. Danhausen's partner is an icon in WWE history. They are a former tag team champion.
Oh my God, you're going exactly where I think you're going.
Where?
Keep going.
I think if you need a partner and, you know, you're getting towards this point in the year, I think someone gets freed up. I think Danhausen gets Nicholas as his partner for this match.
Yeah, that's exactly where I thought you were going with that one.
Hey, at least Casey got a chuckle out of it. No, it's one of those, like, you can put, honestly, anyone in this role to fulfill the mystery partner, because with Danhausen, it can be, honestly, anyone. Like, he can pull out the janitor from the backstage area to fill in, and you would just be like, all right, yeah, that fits. I don't know who it's actually supposed to be in this role, but at the same time, you also have, like, let's be honest, The Miz and Kit Wilson are there to fulfill a role, which is be the foil to Danhausen and, you know, put heat on him and then get their ass beat in the end. That's what they're there for. That's what they're going to do. It's ultimately Danhausen and TBA is going to win. I'm going to be intrigued to see what they do with the TBA. You know, wouldn't it be something if the TBA was Obafemi and it's actually a glorified handicap match? Danhausen doesn't even get into the ring.
I mean, it's possible. I wouldn't be surprised on this show if we get a random Obafemi match just to do the Obafemi open challenge and get him on a PLE.
That, and I mean, you might as well capitalize on the fact of you hit that music and everyone will do the strut as he walks down to the ring. It doesn't have to be long. It's a, what, 2 to 3 minute squash match? Boom.
Yeah.
In, out, 10 minute segment, over with. Mm-hmm. And honestly, if you want to, you do have that window on ESPN, too.
You do.
You just featured him on ESPN as part of WrestleMania. It wouldn't be a bad thing to, like, if you have your opening match, whatever it is, and then you put this as that closing segment of that first hour on cable television.
Wouldn't it be the worst thing?
Nope. And then it's, hey, guess what? We still have 4 matches to go when you jump over to the app. We'll see you there. Bye.
Pretty much. All right. And then finally, we have Seth Rollins taking on Braun Breaker, Tim.
Oh, as long as Braun doesn't miss any spears. This one, difficult call. Are they going to let Seth get his revenge, or are they going to draw this out? Because if they let Seth get the revenge, it's a little bit short of a program. This is going to be intensity versus cunning. And by rights, I think the victory should go to Braun.
All right, there's that one take for Braun Breaker. Casey, what's your take?
Part of me feels like if Braun doesn't win this, what does that do for him as a character? And, like, where do they go with him if, you know, he's the guy who takes Seth out of the vision and then can't finish the job. I don't think Seth loses anything by losing to Bron Breakker. I think all that happens is Bron Breakker gets kind of like one step closer to the main event picture. Seth can always kind of move on to whatever else after that if he wants to. He's sort of changing up his character a little bit now that he's back from injury. He's no longer acting like the visionary or like, you know, he seems to be dressing a little less elaborate. I don't see Seth winning this match doesn't do anything for Braun, but Braun winning this match doesn't hurt Seth. So yeah, I'm going to go with Bron Breakker winning.
Okay. And then what about you, Brent?
For me, there's two avenues you can go with this story. One, if you have Braun win, it's a little like what I talked about with Io, and we saw play out on Monday night with Seth and the Prophets. Right now, Seth is on an island. He had the vision. He had amassed this group with Paul Heyman, and he had the world beaters there with Bron Breakker and Bronson Reed that could help him get to his goal, which was winning the world title. And then it all came crashing down very fast on him. When Breakker turned on Seth, the whole philosophy or the whole mentality behind that is, yeah, Seth doesn't have anyone. He has burned bridges, and that's been the point for so long, is, you know, like, he turned his back on the Shield. And ever since then, Roman can't trust him and won't trust him ever because of what happened there. Seth has his issues with Punk, and so that's another avenue where he does not have an ally, with Braun and Bronson and the rest of the Vision still hanging out there and can be this kind of faction that will beat him down whenever essentially they want to. He also kind of turned his back on Cody. He did a little bit. And we saw with the Prophets when they came out to help against the Vision and Seth was coming back there to be like, hey guys, you know, and they stopped him immediately and were like, we didn't do this for you. We did this to go after them and the belts. Like, you just happened to be there. We don't care. We're not there to have your back because, again, Seth has set up precedent that he can't be trusted. If you align with him, is it only a matter of time until he goes, yeah, no, I don't need you. The other part of this that's interesting plays off of the history of Bron Breakker. And we've seen it play out a few times where he has all of the God-given talent. And we see it from, you know, his ability to hit breakneck speed. Was it 23 miles an hour?
Yes.
Is what they claim?
Yep, that's exactly what they
claim. So he can, you know, he can just run those ropes or run down the ramp at just breakneck speed and lay waste to someone. The spear, when delivered properly, looks as devastating as Goldberg's back in the day, when he would fold people in half with it. He has that ability of just like, kind of like Obafemi. He's just a freak of nature. He's, you know, powerful, where when he hits the ring and hits some of those moves, you just kind of go, Jesus. And he still has, you know, he has his uncle's ability to be a bit of a high flyer with, you know, that top rope Frankensteiner. But there's been one drawback on Bron Breakker his entire existence in NXT and WWE. And we've seen it play out where he doesn't have the mental game to sometimes finish the job. We saw it with Sammy when Sammy was able to capitalize and take out Braun because Braun got cocky. We saw CM Punk capitalize on Braun and his mistake. Now, Braun's able to learn from it, but he hasn't had that second chance at Punk, so we don't know if he fully learned. He was able to learn it from Sammy because he delivered that spear the second time and was like, yep, I'm going to finish the job on you. I'm not going to waste my time. And I'm wondering in this case if it's Seth utilizes that mental advantage to defeat Braun. And with this, it doesn't have to be the finish of the story, because I think there's a much bigger story to play here with Braun and Seth. But I think, again, you have that moment where it's just like, Braun's young, he's impulsive, he's very emotional, and the thing that he needs to take away from this is you need to be calculated. Because we also saw Paul at times, he did it with Seth and he's done it with Braun, where he tries to be the voice to be like, no, don't go back there, don't do this, be smarter. And they don't. They go full emotion, and it costs them. With Seth, he got drilled by Cody. I think if you want to stretch this out past this match at Backlash, you give Seth the win here, and you have it be where it's not full revenge, but it's like, okay, he wins the battle here. Braun lays him, you know, lays waste to him, walks away to the point where they have one more match, and that's where Braun picks up the decisive win, puts a cherry on the top, and moves on to his next thing.
Yeah. So you're officially going...
I'm going to be the dissenting opinion again, which it looks like I've been three times tonight. I'm going to go Seth Rollins on this one.
And there you go. That is Backlash, which takes place this Saturday live, 6 p.m. Eastern on ESPN2 and the ESPN Unlimited app here in the States and everywhere else on Netflix. But that's our show. We'll be back next Sunday to review the entire thing. We'll kick off this week with the Raw Post Show live tomorrow night. When Raw ends, we'll be live to talk all about it. The Rack is back live this Thursday, 10 p.m. Eastern, to preview Backlash, cover the news from the last 6 weeks. The Rack, Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. Saturday night, it's CB Radio, 11:30 p.m. Eastern. And as mentioned, we'll be back for another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio live, 10 p.m. Eastern, to talk all things Backlash. It's at Wild Talk Radio. It's facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. That WTR Sunday night on Facebook and Twitter. Tim.
Yeah, follow me on Twitter or X, whatever they call it nowadays, at Flames Forums. Stay up to date. I post practically every day, several times, every time the inspiration hits me. So follow me at Flames Forums.
The most social person I know is one Keishi Matsunaga.
That's right. You can catch my handles on the internet at Kyle Driver, where I post so many posts, all of the posts, more posts than your feed has room for. And by feed has room for, I mean everybody else's stuff, because I won't take up space.
So polite.
All right, Brian, what about you?
You can find me on a variety of social media platforms at either Kane Kittens or Kane.Kittens. That would be X/Twitter, Threads, Instagram, Blue Sky. Yeah, I think that's the majority of them. Also, you can find me Saturday nights with the Intern's Corner on CB Radio like we did last night.
Chat, if you have Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It's not Prime Gamers, it's not Twitch Prime, it's just Prime. Click the purple button below the screen to subscribe for free. You can use credit code Rock and Sock in the Fortnite Nom Shop or Epic Game Store because hashtag Epic Partner. Send us home, Tim.
Well, hey, that's it, everybody. Have yourselves a wonderful evening. And for tomorrow, may the 4th be with you. Happy Star Wars Day. Happy belated birthday to our very own lovely Lindsay. And that being said, go brush your teeth. Make sure that the dishes are done. Wind her down and get ready to go to bed. Have yourselves a great week, everybody.
WildTalkRadio.com.